The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're taking questions from listeners just like you, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. But I'd like to remind you about a great opportunity that we have coming up. It's our National Bible Conference. You can find out more about our national conference by going to faithalone.org, click on events. You can even get registered right there on the site. We would love to see you there. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back to the show where we get all kinds of interesting questions and objections. Do you want to hear an objection?
Yeah, go for it.
Here's one from Scott, and he says, "You all at GES herald free grace, and yet you preach from the letters in the Revelation, which is full of works doctrine. Revelation is future. Those letters are to believers and proselytizers that find themselves in the tribulation. I cannot take your theology completely seriously given this." Scott.
All right.
So he doesn't think we should preach from the book of Revelation because I guess he thinks it's purely for tribulation saints.
Yeah, I did respond to his email with he emailed this question in, and I saw it. I gave him a response.
Okay.
And what I understood him to mean is when you look at particularly Revelation chapters 2 and 3, it's indeed full of works doctrine. And he's right. It is. In all seven letters in Revelation 2 and 3, the expression, "I know your works," appears.
Yes.
And in 5 of the 7, it's negative.
Right.
5 of the 7, the Lord does not appreciate or approve of the works in those local churches.
Right.
And so he's calling for them to repent. Only 2 are getting a good report. And he doesn't like it probably because the 7 letters talk about a group called the overcomers,
yes.
Right? The overcomers comes from the Greek word nikao. The noun form is Nike. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
And Nike was the Greek goddess of victory. Overcoming Christians, another name for them, is victorious Christians, victorious believers.
Right.
Well, we're all called to be that, and I think maybe the reason Scott's upset is because he realizes that in Revelation 2 and 3, not all of the believers are necessarily overcomers.
Right, and so maybe this is a common misunderstanding about our position. So we believe in what's known as the free grace position, and that means we believe that salvation really is free. Jesus did 100% of the work so that you can have everlasting life as a free gift simply by believing in him for it. Belief is not some meritorious act on your part. It's purely receptive. It just receives that free gift.
And it's apart from works.
And it's totally apart from works. But free grace theology also emphasizes works, only we do not emphasize it for salvation. We stand with Paul and others who are just very clear, no, when it comes to justification and getting eternal life, works have nothing to do with that. Well, that raises the question, well, what are works good for? And that's why we go to a book like Revelation, because Jesus himself tells the churches what good works are good for.
Exactly. And it's clear that the book of Revelation is full of good works, but I would say it's clear that all 66 books in the Bible are full of good works.
Right.
Calls to good works.
Yeah, we're called to do good works, for sure.
And so you can't read any book in the Bible without seeing an emphasis on good works.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So Scott is saying you can't preach from Revelation because it's full of works doctrine. And you're saying every single book of the Bible is full of works doctrine.
Am I wrong there?
Right. You know, you're absolutely right. You're right.
I mean, which book doesn't have... I guess you could say the Gospel of John might not have much in terms of works doctrine, but even in the Gospel of John, the Lord does allude to eternal rewards and to laying up fruit for everlasting life,
right,
which I take it as a reference to eternal rewards.
Right.
And so even in the Gospel of John, there are some hints to the unbelieving readers that, hey, if you come to faith and you follow Christ and serve Christ, there are rewards for you.
All right, so there's the key word right there. If you don't get eternal life by works, what are works good for? And the answer is eternal rewards.
Eternal,
right?
Rewards.
Becoming an overcoming Christian, a Nike Christian, a victorious Christian who gets the rewards that Jesus mentions in Revelation 2 and 3.
All right, but Sean, let's go through a few more things, because it's not just eternal rewards. If you are a man who is working hard and serving God, and you're an example to your wife, an example to your children, and you're providing for your family, you're teaching them the principles of the Christian life, your good works are producing a blessing in the life of your wife and children.
Yeah.
And not only that, you're a blessing to your neighbors, people you come into contact with. And so another reason why good works are good is because they bless the people around us. Look at Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. Paul says we're to work with our hands so that we can share with others. But guess what? It also blesses you. In other words, if you're a godly person, God's going to bless you in this life, not just your spouse, not just your children. He's going to bless you.
So someone might be like, well, I mean, if good works aren't for my eternal salvation, I mean, why should I even bother doing them? Well, do you love your wife?
Right.
Do you love your kids? Do you want to be a blessing to them? And do you want to have a blessed life here now? Then love the people around you.
Or maybe you would prefer, if you live in Texas, to have the government pay for your care so you could go to Huntsville, commit a felony, and spend 20 years in prison in Huntsville.
Or you can go that route,
I mean, if you decide, look, what I want to do is I want to be a drug dealer, and I want to be a murderer, and I want to be an immoral person, well, then you're going to reap the consequences of your lifestyle.
Right.
Now, you can't lose everlasting life, but you can lose fullness of life, and you can even lose your life. If you're involved in immorality, watch out. The husband of the woman you're having an affair with might kill you.
Right,
or
right.
You might end up in prison.
Right.
And if you end up in prison, you might die there. So the point is, there's a whole lot of reasons. For another thing, shouldn't we be grateful for the free gift of everlasting life? Shouldn't gratitude produce a profound sense of love for Jesus?
You think so.
Well, aren't good works good for Jesus? Like you said, they're good for others.
Right.
Well, one of those others is God himself.
Yeah.
God enjoys it when we, as his children, reflect his image. We were created to be image bearers. Didn't Jesus say, let your light shine before men?
Right.
So that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven?
Yeah, so good works can help lead someone to faith in Christ.
But they also bring glory to the Father.
Yeah.
And
that's
a good thing. They bring glory to Jesus. What we need to recognize is that good works is not a cuss word.
We believe in good works. We just don't believe in making them a co-condition with faith for salvation.
Right.
And by the way, doing good works is not contrary to grace.
Absolutely.
Grace is a motivation for doing good works.
Absolutely. And it's not legalistic. In other words, some people think when you talk about good works that you're telling people, well, what they need to do is keep a list of all the sins in the Bible, all the positive things we're called to do, and then have it posted everywhere. No, the scriptures don't call us to do that because that would make us nuts. Instead, what we're supposed to do is be a part of a Bible-teaching church where we hear the Word of God taught week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out, and the Word of God produces a change in our thinking. Paul calls it renewing of your mind.
Mm.
And that renewing of our mind results in transformation, Romans 12:2. You see, we get conformed to this world when we listen to this world. But we don't get conformed to this world when we listen to God.
Mm.
And so we want to have a worldview that's God's worldview. That's what we want. We want to think the way Jesus wants us to think. We want his mind. What we need is solid Bible teaching, and that solid Bible teaching has a transformative effect. Does it produce good works? Absolutely. In fact, the church, a lot of people don't realize, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 refers to second person plural, you, but in verse 10 it shifts to we. For we were created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We in Ephesians is Jews and Gentiles together in the church. And what that's saying is the body of Christ was designed to produce good works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, individual believers are part of the body of Christ, but it's not a guarantee that every believer is going to produce good works or even every local church. What it's saying is that's God's design for his church.
Let me ask you a question related to Scott's. He seems to think that we live in a grace time now, but the tribulation is not going to be a gracious period. And I guess it kind of raises the question. Some people think that salvation by grace is strictly a revelation given to Paul, and it's only true of the church. And outside of that church age, we have like non-grace salvation. We have non-grace living. What would you say to that?
Well, that's a misconception, because Paul uses Abraham in Romans 4 and in Galatians 3 as an example of someone who was justified by faith apart from works. Abraham believed the same message. Jesus does too. In John 8:58, he says, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." And so Abraham is an example of someone who was born again or justified by faith apart from works. And the truth is, that's always been the case. In the Gospels, which, by the way, were before the birth of the church, Jesus was proclaiming salvation by grace through faith apart from works. When he was asked, "What works must we do that we may work the works of God?" John 6:28. His answer was, "This is the work of God singular, that you believe in him whom he sent."
Right.
So the only action we can do to be born again is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And that was true of all ages. And it's going to be true
in the tribulation too. Nobody is born again by any other method. I mean, Adam and Eve, Genesis 3:15, were born again by believing in the coming Messiah, who's called the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15. So was Abraham, so was David, so was Samuel, so was every Old Testament believer. They believed in the coming Messiah for everlasting life. And remember, Jesus said in John 5:39, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life." The Old Testament saints were willing to come to Messiah that they may have life, and they understood that they had everlasting life in Messiah.
Right.
It's a principle all the way through Scripture that salvation's always been by grace through faith apart from works, and sanctification has always been by walking by faith we produce good works.
All right, Bob, thank you very much. And Scott, thank you for your question, although it was really more just an objection, but we're happy to turn it into a question.
Right.
So if you have an objection or a question, you know where to send it to, radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other free grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other free grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org.
Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about sheep and goats, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.